Check, check.
There it goes. Let's do it like this. Can you hear me? I know I have a soft voice. It's hard to hear me sometimes, but. There he goes. There's the laugh. Good evening, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And we're going to get started this evening. So if you don't have a paper, they're, of course, back on the welcome desk. And it is session 13, the greeter's desk, welcome desk. What's the official title of that desk back there? Welcome desk? Yes, okay. The official title is welcome desk. So if you need some paperwork, it is back there. It is a joy to be back home, and many of you saw my Facebook post about our trip to Love Packages, and it was wonderful. We would encourage you to come along with us again when we do it. It was inspiring and hard work, but it was a cool place to be. So God's word is being sent all over the world, and we're so, so grateful for that. All right, we're going to get started. Let's start with a word of prayer this evening. We're just going to go before the Lord and ask his intervention. Tonight, how many of you know that without the help of the Lord, there's no point in doing anything? But with his help, the Bible says we can do all things through him. So let's go before the Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you for being with us in this place. And you said that you would never leave us or forsake us. And you go with us everywhere. Your spirit lives inside of us. But you also said that where two or three are gathered in your name, you would manifest yourself in a special way. You would be in the midst of us. And so we're believing your word tonight that you are going to accomplish what your word sets out to do, not what we set out to do, but what your word sets out to do. We pray, God, that you would help us to learn and grow and become more and more and more like the image of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, for that. And we will not fail to give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Tonight's session is relational currency. And we're talking about being second mile leaders, talking about being leaders that people will follow. How many of you want to be a leader that somebody will follow? And we know that it's not just if you're the pastor or a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or the head of something in the church. If you believe that Jesus has caused you to help other people to grow, to disciple others, you are a leader. That means that you're a leader at home. You are discipling your family members, your kids, your grandkids. You are discipling the people at work who watch you and work with you. You are discipling the people in the grocery store who know you and have a relationship with you. And we are discipling everywhere. And so because we are all leaders, then we need to learn how to do it well. And we need to learn how to do it the best of our ability. I was talking with Brother Jonathan this evening, and I thought it was really actually appropriate as he was talking. He was talking about learning to be an electrician in to get his journeyman's card, that he had to go different shifts and work with different people because there were expertise in each one of those folks that the other one didn't have, and so that he could learn it really well. And so we need to follow each other and learn from each other, and so that we can learn it really well, so that we can be second mile leaders also. How many of you have ever had a person in your life that was instrumental in your growth? Instrumental, like you watched them and thought, wow, that's the person that I want to emulate. And you watched them, and as they talked about Brother Turner's funeral on Monday, you watched them when everything was going good, and you watched them when a lot of stuff went bad. And you learned from them, and they poured into you. And today, we're talking about relational currency. And what that means is that you can pour into people, and you can give to people, and you can cause them to grow. And the idea is that they are enriched by you. But how many of you know that when trust is broken, some of that currency is removed? Some of what you poured into them is then pulled out. And their trust is depleted, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you have a paper, and Brother Ryan's back there ready to go, and he is on the ball this evening. The first question is asked you this evening is, the big question is, can you be trusted? Can people, can leaders, can other folks in the congregation, can you be trusted? And the second word is, trust is a reliance. So the word is reliance. Trust is the reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, or surety of a person. Now, I would trust some people that if I said I was going to fall, they could catch me. There are other people, even though they said they could and they wanted to, I would not trust them to catch me. And the analogy is given in the book about a chair, and the gentleman had bought a certain kind of chair, and twice that chair broke on him. And he said, I ceased to buy that kind of chair because his trust in that chair was broken. And when we break trust, it is hard to get it back again. When we feel like someone has betrayed us, or we feel like someone has let us down that we trusted, and they have let us down, it is hard to get that back, and we remove much of that currency from their life. Anybody got a question or comment before we go on this evening? So let me ask you the question. Has your trust ever been broken with someone? Have you trusted them and then they did something, said something, behaved in a way that caused your trust to not be there anymore? How does that feel? Somebody give me a word. How does that feel? Hurtful? Sad? Anybody else? How does it feel? I'm sorry? Terrible? It's like a knife in your gut. Especially if, you know, the guy at the gas station, it doesn't matter if he breaks your trust. I don't care. But a person you trusted and loved and cared about, when that person breaks your trust, when that person hurts you, whether it was intentional or not, is one of the deepest wounds that you can receive. And you know who that happened to? And who is our example? Jesus. And oftentimes I think about my feelings. You know, sometimes we walk around with our feelings out all the time, and I feel this, and but I often think about Jesus and what did he do when people broke his trust? What was his response to people who broke his trust? And I think about Peter, who betrayed him, who said, I don't even know the man. And yet when he called Peter, he said, okay, Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And he gave him a second chance. And that's the example I want to follow. Isn't that the example you want to follow this evening? Amen. So here is some of the things that we're going to talk about. And the first thing we want to look at, if we want to have people trust us and not break that trust, if you want to be a second mile leader truly, the first thing we're going to look at is that you need to keep confidences. If people open up to you and share their hurts and their sins and their faults, will you push them away or will you embrace them while keeping their secret or confidence? When you commit to keeping a confidence but only tell one person, you have broken the trust. Well, I only told so-and-so. Except that so-and-so then went and told 10 other people. If you said, I won't tell anybody, and then you tell one person, you have broken their trust. Once the trust is broken, the author says you are no longer a second mile leader. Whew, that's a tough saying. You've stopped being what you ought to be. When is it okay to share? So I'm going to ask you a question. Let's say someone shared with you something and you weren't sure if you should share it with another person. When is it okay to share a confidence? Is it ever okay? When is it okay? Pastor D? Tell me, when is it okay? I need your wisdom this evening. When is it, if someone shares something with you, when is it okay to share with, to give that information to somebody else?
From what I know, there are rules that say that you cannot hold information that relates to things like sexual harassment, right, molestation, or
right,
rape, and things like that. So you can't.
By law, you
cannot right, keep that. You have right, to report that.
Right. That's true.
And when it's not something related to that, if the person who told you something asked you for confidentiality, and then you cannot share it with anybody. It's not right.
So I couldn't come to you and say, brother, I need your advice on something somebody told me. So-and-so told me this, and I need your advice. Would that be okay? I mean, you're a leader in the church.
Right, like you come and ask me about something that somebody mm-hmm, else asked you about. Well, I guess the first thing you should have done is ask the person if right, it was okay to right, relate to a third person about it.
Right. So the only time that that's okay is if you ask their permission. So if I say, I'm not sure how to give you wise counsel on this, but could I go to Pastor D or Pastor Joe or Pastor Ryan or Tricia? Could I share this with them and ask them to keep it confidential? Could I do that? And if they said no, then as a trustworthy person, I can't do that. And the author here says, when you're asking for help with a person in authority over you, you can trust to keep confidence. But I'm not sure if I agree with the author there. He said, well, if you have, you can go to a person that you trust. But I think that if a person asks you to keep it in confidentiality and not share it with another person and doesn't give you permission to share it with another person, then that stays with you. How many of you have ever been in conversation? And you know what? I'm a talker. So, you know, you get in a group of people and you love them and you're talking and sharing and talking and talking. And have ever shared something you knew you should not have shared? Anybody been there? And then you go, oh, man. So that's really important as we grow, and we do grow. We get better at this, thank the Lord, that we are careful about what we share. You know, somebody shares a story, then you share a story, then somebody else, oh yeah, you know, my friend Jeannie, this is what happened to her. And then after I say it, I think, oh, I wasn't supposed to share that. And it's easy to do. But as second mile leaders, as people who want to gain people's trust and keep it and not take away their trust and deplete that relational currency, we have to be very careful about what we share. And confidentiality is a really important thing as leaders in the church, in the body of Christ. The second thing is demonstrate genuine care. Brother Ryan said a couple weeks ago or last week, I don't remember what he said. We say in passing, how are you doing? And then we don't want the answer to that question. It's just something we say. But it's important for us to care about what people are saying. And we get in a hurry, especially if you've got a bunch to do on a Sunday morning. You get in a hurry and you don't stop long enough. And sometimes we can't. It's not possible to stop long enough to hear everything people have to say. That's why building relationships are so important. Going to somebody's house or going out to eat or coming together on, you know, they're going to play cornhole or they're going to have a movie or they're going to have a game night. Those types of times are so important for us to show up for, because then we build relationships. We begin to see who each other is, and it's important that we do that. Anybody got anything to share about that? So some of this convicted me, so I'm just going to read it to you. And I was convicted. Are you concerned enough about the person and their spiritual well-being to stop talking and start listening? If you care, answer your phone. If you care, pray for them like you said you would pray for them. If you care, call them when they're not here. If you care, go visit them when they are in the hospital. If you care, make their needs a priority. If you care, follow through. Second mile leaders always do what they say they are going to do. Don't create an expectation of a meal, an appointment, a prayer, a follow-up, a phone call, etc., and then fail to do it. If we drop the ball, it communicates that we don't care, and we remove some relational currency. Well, she said she cared, but she didn't really act like she cared. She said she'd be there for me, but then she wasn't. So if we want to pour into people's lives, if we want to be a leader, we have to show and demonstrate care. Now, I know and get that we are busy people, and we're busy with our own kids, our own jobs, our own stuff. We're busy with our families, our siblings. Maybe we're pouring into our siblings. Maybe we're pouring into our grandkids. And sometimes it feels like you have nothing left to give. And that's true. Sometimes that's how you feel. But let the Holy Spirit show you where you need to go to pour into somebody else. And maybe you don't have a whole lot of stuff left in you to pour. But let the Holy Spirit guide you to the people that you need to be guided to. And guess what? When you ask him, he's going to show you. When you ask him, he's going to dictate to you and show you and talk to you about who you ought to be pouring into. And it's not what people think you ought to do. It's what the Holy Spirit and God is calling you to do. And so those two things are really important, that we keep confidences, we're careful about what we share. And just let me say this, and it's so important, that we watch what we say. And I've been guilty of this, and I've heard other people guilty of it also, but let's be careful what we say about kids. You know, it's easy for us to mention a kid. You know, we see them run through, and we don't think that they hear, yet they do. And if we're not careful about the words that come out of our mouth, a child will hear something that makes him think that you don't think too much about him, or that you think he's this, or you think he's that. And it may be just funny to you, in passing, funny, you know. And to them, it affects them. So let's be careful about what we let children overhear us say. Let's be careful what we let teenagers hear us overhear. Because here's the thing. If your child gave you a confidence, your child shared something with you, and then she hears you or he hears you telling sister so-and-so, oh, you know, that teenager of mine, I just can't believe that they did this and this and this and this and this. Oh, pray for me. That kid is driving me crazy. We have to be really careful what we share with others. And that doesn't mean we can't share. You know, if your kid is driving you crazy and you need to tell another parent, please pray for me, my kid is driving me crazy. But be careful where you make those statements, and cautious about where you make the statements and who you make them to, because they have an effect, and children can get relational currency pulled out of them. They no longer trust you. They no longer think that they can talk to you because you blabbed it, because you thought it was funny, you thought it was silly, but they didn't think so. So let's be really careful, even to our little ones. Amen? Amen. All right, so the second part of this lesson this evening is by making you a second mile leader at the lighthouse, and this is really interesting, we are putting our credibility behind you. Can we trust you? When you leave this place and you say, I am a member of the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God, then what you do reflects here. That's not always fair. That's not necessarily what this church is teaching. But when you're a member and you're growing and you're trying to be discipled and you want to be a leader and you want to grow and you want to do what God wants you to do, you have to be careful what you do out there. And can this body of believers trust you by putting their credibility behind you? So, you know, you say, I go to the Lighthouse Pentecost Church of God. And then they see you cheat and they go, I thought they went to the Lighthouse Pentecost Church of God. And if we're going to be leaders, we have to understand that it's not just in these four walls that people are watching us. That it's everywhere we go, somebody's saying, oh, there's that Sister Betty, she goes to the Lighthouse. But I'm extremely rude to the waiter and extremely rude at the grocery store. Or I'm screaming at my kids and cursing at them. Isn't she a Sunday school teacher at the Lighthouse? And so this body of believers is putting our credibility behind you when you say that you are a leader. So the first one is, can we trust you not to start your own ministry? Now, that doesn't mean that every once in a while you can't have a Bible study in your house. But it's imperative that you go through leadership if you want to do something. Let's say we started the Finishing Well Bible study. I went to pastors and I said, you know, I really feel like we need a Bible study for seniors during the day. You know, when it's not night, because some people don't like to drive at night. And I said, you know, just a simple, you know, not anything complicated. And they gave me their blessing and we started that ministry. And I keep them updated on a continual basis about what we're doing, what we're studying, and those kind of things. So it's important that you don't go off and start something on your own and then put the Lighthouse logo on it. Get permission, get counsel, ask advice, ask for them to give you pointers or anything that they feel like you ought to. Make sure that you're leading this in an appropriate way. I had a friend who went to a church, and a lady started a Bible study in her home. And, you know, that was good, and they invited her to go to this Bible study, and so she went to the Bible study. And she said, Betty, the Bible study was about bashing the pastor, about talking about all the bad things in the church and how they think it ought to be changed. No. We have to be really cautious about what we do on the outside of this church, because, as they said again, they're putting their credibility behind you. Anybody got a question or a comment? You guys are quiet tonight. So I'm thinking you're just soaking it all in. I've been in church before when pastors or preachers have said, I wish somebody would say amen. I wish somebody would preach with me. But all the while I'm thinking, hey, buddy, I'm soaking this in. I'm writing notes. I'm soaking it in. The next one, can we trust you with the people who have a grievance with the pastor or other leadership? Well, I just don't like how that Brother Joe is leading this church. I got to talk to you, Sister Betty. I got something on my heart I need to talk to you about. It really bothers me when they do X, Y, Z. I don't know why they didn't. Why do they? Are they calling it that? Why are they doing this? Why are they? And let me tell you, you know, and I know, every time somebody approaches you like that is not a genuine wanting to know. You know it isn't. You can sense it. It's them wanting to come and gripe about something. And I like this because they said, can we trust you with the people who come to you with a grievance against the church or the pastor or other leadership? Can we trust you to not join in? Now, let's just be really honest. Not everything done in the church, in any church, is to everybody's liking. It's not possible. It's not possible that everybody likes the color of the seats or the color of the carpet or the color of the walls or the building design or the... It's not possible that everybody likes everything. So some things you can just be like, eh, it's not my favorite, but, you know, it's carpet. And some things are serious, and you have a right to go to leadership and say, I just have a problem here, and I just need somebody to talk to. But when you see people jumping from person to person to person to person, until they find somebody who is going to listen to them. Years ago, and this person is no longer living and is no longer around. But they were not real thrilled with Brother Billy Turner. Didn't like him all that much, and they attended church here. And so Brother Billy and Sister Julia were away on vacation, and so he was asked to teach adult Sunday school class, and that was back in the day when Sunday school class started before regular church. Does anybody remember those days? Some of you remember those days. That was a long day for me. It was a really long day. But so Sunday school started and then church started. And that gentleman, he decided that he was going to spew out all of his views. And the place was dead quiet. Like, we were like, whoa. And he didn't get, I was so appreciative, because people made it very plain. This ain't okay, brother. This is not okay. And I remember so often Sister Hensley would speak her mind when she felt like, you know what? No. And let me share you. She shared a vision, and I know that you'll probably remember this. It was, we were having a lot of trouble in those days. A lot of division, a lot of people talking when they shouldn't have been talking. And she got up and said the Lord had given her a vision that a bunch of snakes were released down through the middle of the church. And one side went this way, and one side went that way. And she warned them. She said, if this stuff doesn't stop, it'll tear us apart. And unfortunately, somebody didn't heed the Spirit of the Lord. And so we have to be really careful when we get mad about something. And how many of you know, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get mad. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get mad. You're going to say, why did they do that? Why did they say that? Why did they? And it is your job as a mature Christian to get a hold of yourself in self-control and find yourself an altar of prayer and say, God, you got to release me from this. And I got to talk to the people I need to talk to, because it'll tear you apart and it'll tear the body of Christ apart if you're not careful about people who come to you with grievances, or if you have a grievance, that you handle that in the right way. Can we trust you to help build the kingdom and not to ever do harm to it? Lord, help us that we build the kingdom and not destroy it. That we build up our brothers and sisters. We build up what God is doing, and that we never, never, never tear it down. Can we trust you to make decisions based on the vision of the lighthouse rather than what you prefer to be done? Not what you think you ought to do, but what is the vision of the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God? And if you attend here, if you feel like that God has placed you here and has planted you here, then it is your job to follow what the leading of the pastors are. And let me tell you, God will take care of the pastors. If you pray for them, God's going to take care of them. If you feel like they're leading you wrong direction, start praying. And honestly, if we prayed as much as we talked, we'd be way better off. If we prayed as much as we discussed things, we'd be way better off. If we say, God, I'm just going to spend 2 hours and just pray for my pastors, you would see a difference in your own heart as well as in the body of Christ. Anybody have a question or a comment on that? Go ahead,
brother. It's just two things. When you were saying that, I was reminded of someone wrote a book about the five spirits that are attacking the church nowadays. And one of the spirits is called the spirit of Absalom. And that's exactly what he did. He would stand at the door, waiting for people to come with their issues, and And he would tell him, well, King David is too old, he cannot take care of you. But and then he would have even say, well, who would have made me king? And then he advertised himself pretty good. Now, you were asking earlier about, is it okay to share with someone when somebody tells you something? And it's not directly related to your question, but it's somehow it is. I think if there is a good time to share with someone when someone comes to you is when someone comes to you to talk about a third person.
Yes.
One of the ways that you can avoid that from repeating or just close the door is to say, okay, brother, everything you're telling me, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share this with my pastor. Mm-hmm. I had the chance one time, someone came and said a bunch of things about how he was not happy about things and all that. And first thing I said is, well, you know everything you're telling me. I'm, right after this conversation finishes, I'm going to go talk to Pastor Joe. Because, I mean, there's no other way for me to fix this. You come tell me something is wrong in the church. I want to fix it. I want you to be okay. So I got to go tell him. And of course, that person says, yeah, you can go ahead and do that. Well, I did it. And of course, that person never wanted to talk to Pastor. Right. But I think it's just a way to do it. I mean, when you said also that someone comes to you and says, well, I'm not happy with this and this. Well, maybe it's a good time just to go and tell the pastor yourself. Why you even come to me?
Right.
So those are things that will help you. Yes. And here's the thing. I have learned this. And even though I have learned it, I think I need to remind myself of it every time. People who come to you and talk about someone else, they will normally talk about you too with someone else. That's a reality.
Yes. Yeah. It's inevitable that they will. They do. Right. One of the things I liked that the author talked about was that when the apostles laid hands on the first deacons, you remember in the book of Acts when they said, we need some help. We can't leave the word of God to wait tables. We're going to have some help. So they laid their hands on them. But in essence, what they were saying was these men are an extension of us. When you talk to them, you're talking to us. And so that's how we need to see it. And if we're going to have unity, that is really what we need to do is to protect each other. And that never means that we hide sin. Never. Because that's happened where, well, we want to keep the church going, so we're just going to cover up stuff. That's not what we're saying at all. Sin should always be exposed. But, you know, when we have people who just are dissatisfied and disgruntled, then we need to take a hold of that. And oftentimes I've said to people, well, you're complaining about so-and-so. Let's go to so-and-so. Let's go and have a conversation. No. Well, then you know by that statement that they don't really want to fix it. They just want to complain. And so we have to be really careful about how we handle people. So the second part of this, as a second mile leader, when dealing with grievances and frustrations, do not share it with your peers. Well, I'm going to go share this with Sister Maggie because I want her on my side. So when this conversation starts, I want her on my side, and I'm going to tell her my side so she agrees with me. That's why we go and talk about it. So let's not do that. Let's not share it with somebody else. Do not share it with someone you were leading. Do not share that with an immature Christian because they won't get it and they won't understand it. And they'll say, I thought Christians were all supposed to love each other. And they won't understand it, so don't share it with them. And by all means, do not share it with your children. The fastest way that you can get your kids out of the church is to share junk. Shame on you if you do it. And I'm telling you, this is one of the most important things I can say tonight. Do not get in your car and start complaining about something that happened in church while your children are overhearing. They can't process it. They don't understand it. And they will not process it correctly. And you may be mad for 2 minutes and be over it. But they will not process it correctly. So don't share your grievances. Don't share other people's grievances when your children are in earshot. And be very careful, because guess what? Kids are really good at listening at the door. Over, oh, what's mom and dad talking about? You know, you tell them, go in there and watch TV. Yeah, well, then they got... I find it fascinating, don't you, that when kids don't hear you when you tell them to clean up their room, but when you whisper something about going for ice cream, all of a sudden they can hear you. It's a miracle. So kids are really good at listening in, so be very careful and cautious about the things that you share with your children. So I want to read this scripture in Matthew 18 and 6. Brother Jim has quoted this scripture a lot, and we have had to remind ourselves of this a lot. Because this is like really a big deal. This is poison, its author says, and Jesus had strong words for such actions. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for a millstone to be hung around his neck and he would be drowned into the depths of the sea. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? That's pretty severe. Jesus, the Son of God, is saying, it's better for you to have a horrible, terrible death than for you to offend one of these little ones. So for all of you who like particulars, Dake says, let's see, what Dake says is the... about 18 inches in diameter and 3 inches thick. So a millstone, as many of you know, was a rock. So it was about this big and this thick and pretty heavy. So if that got tight around your neck, you weren't coming up out of the water. And so Jesus was pretty graphic. He found it pretty important that we be careful about what we say about others and how we go about with our words. How many of you ever heard the expression, weigh your words? Because your words are weighty. Not only what you say that is good, but what you say that is not according to the will of God. So the next one is, as a second mile leader, when dealing with grievances and frustrations, do the following. Ask questions for clarification. Stop them and say, wait a minute. No matter, you saw this yourself, or did somebody say that they saw it? Did somebody tell you about this, or did you hear it? Did you witness this yourself? Or this is second and third and fourth and fifth hand information. Where did you see this? I was just telling somebody the other day that the addition to AI on Facebook, and you know what that is now, y'all been reading about it. You can't believe anything that you see. You can't believe anything that somebody tells you and says, oh, this is happening, really? Because I'm not sure. And so we have to be really careful of what we say is truth. I have put one of those apps on my phone of the, what do you call them when they make you look better? What do they call? A filter. I'm telling you. I should have put my picture up here. I had this full head of hair, and my face was like 4 inches thinner, and I had no flabby neck at all, and my skin was gorged. I was like, whoa, I'm going to put that as my Facebook page from now on. But after I did it, it was just hilarious. I just sat in the car and laughed and laughed and laughed. And goodness. But what's true is that what we think we see, we don't always, isn't always the truth. And so let's be careful about what we share. And if you're dealing with somebody who comes to you with grievance or something they want to talk to you about, get some clarification. Make sure they saw what they saw, or they're just not repeating what somebody else repeated. And offer improvements in the decision. As Brother D said, why don't we go talk to the pastor? Well, why don't you pray about it? People hate to hear that. Oh, don't just tell me to pray about it. But sometimes that's really what you need to do. You need to spend some time in prayer. The other one is pray. This is so good. Praise publicly, challenge privately. There are times when there need to be things said. You need to say it. But please don't do it in front of 3 or 4 people. Don't do it out of a heated moment. Don't do it as a knee-jerk reaction. Use a little bit of that fruit of self-control and calm yourself. If you're going to be a leader, calm yourself. Don't use the excuse, I couldn't help it. That's not an excuse for a leader. It's not. Never say it. I couldn't help what I said. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you're going to be a leader and you declare that you're going to be a leader, then use some self-control. And if you have to have a moment where there is truth told, you need to do it privately and not publicly. If you say to me, Sister Betty, I need to talk to you. You hurt my feelings when you said XYZ. And some of you say, oh, I could never do that. Well, you should, because I need to know. Because sometimes I run my mouth. Sometimes I need to be reminded that I shouldn't say certain things. So tell me. But don't tell me in a group of people. Take me aside and tell me. And the last one is, be kind, but be truthful. We want to just sweep everything under the rug and pretend it's not happening. And we do need to discuss it. And we need to talk about it. And we need to say the things we need to say. But in a kind manner and not attacking. And Zig Ziglar always said, never say, you never and you always. Because those two words are not true. You don't always do it or you never do it. But speak specifically, but be truthful and be kind. The last thing I want to say tonight is, first of all, anybody got a comment or question this evening? Anybody share anything? The last thing I want to say is that the devil, the enemy, wants to stop you from ministering. He wants to stop you from leading. And if he can wound you and cause you to distrust people and lay down your mission, lay down the thing God has called you to do, he will do that. So let me just talk directly to you and anybody listening to me in Facebook, and it's really important. If you have been wounded by another saint, sometimes deeply wounded, sometimes it wasn't your fault, sometimes people actually lied on you, actually said stuff that wasn't true, and they wounded you, and you said, I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm done. I'm laying it down. I'll come to church, I'll sit in my pew, I'll worship, And I'm out the door and I'm not doing anything anymore because I'm sick and tired of people misusing me. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Sure we have. But let me ask you something. If you've overheard people talking about you, lying on you, you've tried your best and yet for some people it wasn't good enough, I need you to ask you to forgive them. I need you to lay it down this evening. I need you to take it and just put it at the feet of Jesus and say, I'm tired of carrying this. I don't want to carry it anymore. Because you know what? Let's really be honest. No one gets it right 100% of the time. I have been the person before. And I've said this before, but it's so important. I have been the person before that's run my mouth and somebody overheard. I didn't mean to, but I was frustrated and tired and I was overworked and I was tired of doing what I was doing. And they didn't do it the way I thought they should and I was just frustrated and I ran my mouth and somebody overheard me and I wounded them. So nobody gets it 100% of the time. So I'm asking you tonight to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. I'm asking you to begin to ask God to show you where your ministry should be. And if you said, I don't want to do it anymore, I'm not doing nothing, I'm laying it down, I'm not doing nothing, I want you to get rid of that. And lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll do. Sometimes we do need to take a sabbatical, a step back, a waiting, a searching for God and what he wants us to do. But let's not sit there with anger and frustration and unforgiveness. Let's lay it down. Because again, when your trust is broken, you are depleted and you feel empty and you say, I can't trust another person again. But you can. God is going to bring to you, I'm prophetically telling you this right now. God is going to bring to you people in your life with such deep friendships that you have never had before. And they are going to make such a change in your life and who you see yourself as. Because you're going to seek his face and you're going to ask him to help you trust again. To give you trust. Because I want to be a second mile leader. Brother Ryan, will you put that scripture back up there if they compel you to go? That if, this Jesus said, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it too. And I love this scripture because it's not a saint that's asking you. It's some horrible, terrible person that's asking you to carry it to a mile. And you carry it too. I had a conversation with my boss today and I was, he asked me what I was going to do tonight. And I said I was excited. I got to teach a Bible study class and he asked me what it was about. And I told him and we had a good conversation about what was important. And I said, it's important that, and he said, I get really frustrated when people say, well, they got more than me. And he said, if you're a Christian, shouldn't you rejoice in that? Shouldn't that make you happy? Yay, they got more than me. But we live in a world that wants to grab and grasp all we can. But I want to be a second mile leader. I want to do it better than I've ever done it before. How many of you can see improvement that needs to happen in your life? Anybody? Go ahead, Brother Jesse.
So I want to share something that I shared a few weeks ago. And it goes along the lines of just feeling discouraged and not really know which direction you're going and maybe you're going through some hurt, you're dealing with some of those things, some of the best advice that I've been given is you need to stay on the potter's wheel.
Yeah.
You need to stay on the potter's wheel because it's there that God can continue to shape you. He can continue to mold you because when you get off the wheel,
yeah,
you start to get dried out. Your heart becomes hard,
yeah,
and God can no longer work with that.
Yeah.
So even if you just start to confess to God and say, God, this area is where I'm struggling with. I don't know what to do with it. I have no idea why it's there, but I'm going to give it to you. And tomorrow morning, if you wake up and you still feel that, you just take that step and say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to fix it, but I'm just putting it in your hands. And there's days that you have frustration and things seem to be over the top. But if you continue to come back to God and say, God, you are the only one that can help me with this, he'll bring you through it every time.
Every time. Amen. It's good. So let's pour into people and cause them to know they can trust us. And when we see that perhaps some of that trust has been broken, let's fix it. And don't be afraid to let somebody point out stuff in your life. Don't be afraid of that. Because honestly, conviction is a blessing. When I was younger, I used to think conviction was a horrible thing. But honestly, as the older I grow, the more I realize what a blessing God has for us when we hear the word from the pulpit or when we read the word and conviction floods our hearts and we say, wow, I'm not doing this right. I gotta fix this. And as Brother Jesse said, just stay on the potter's wheel. Because until we get out of this world, we will never be perfect. And circumstances in our lives will cause us to be dry and wounded. But let's let him heal us, because he can. I love the scripture that talks about the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That it goes all the way down to the marrow. It goes where nobody else can go. And as you read the word and you set before the feet of Jesus, he can do more for you than any counselor, anybody going and talking it through. Jesus can do more in those sessions than anywhere else in your life. Amen? All right, we're going to continue to pray for Brother Melvin. And also continue to pray for the Turner family as they just lost their grandpa. And we're just so grateful that God answered those prayers. Pastor Joe said they had asked the Lord to let him have a peaceful homecoming, and he did. And that it was a blessing for them, but keep them in your prayers. And Brother Melvin and Harvey, continue to pray for Harvey, Sister Maggie's grandson. He's a dealing with some pretty serious stuff. So let's continue. Sister Pauline Reisner is also, she's now in the nursing home. Pray for that family. It's a difficult season, very, very difficult season for them. So continue to pray for them. Anybody else? So that's Sister Jeannie's husband, Tim. He had back surgery and he's in a lot of pain. So he's supposed to get a shot. So let's pray that that does the trick. Also, Sister Melody Hooper, she just really struggling with her back. She just needs the Lord to just give her a complete healing in her body. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Let's pray for her dad. Anybody else? All right, let's go to God in prayer this evening. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, God, for what you have accomplished in the house this evening. Thank you, God, that we can rely on you in all things. And that if we need to grow in you, if we need to be better leaders, you can show us how. We pray, God, for Harvey, Lord. You see all of the stuff that he's been having to go through. And we pray, God, for his parents, that you give them strength, God, because it's so exhausting to be the caregiver. We pray that you would help Maggie, God, that she would just have the words by the Holy Spirit to say that are uplifting and that will help that family. We pray, God, for Pauline, that you would be with her, Lord. Help her not to have any pain, Lord, and give her clarity, Father, and help her family to be strengthened. God, just give them moments of just wonderful time of fellowship with their mom. And we pray, God, for Tim, that you would continue, Lord, to heal his back. And God, whatever is causing that pain, Lord, for him not to be able to lay correctly, just begin to heal his body. And also Melody Hooper's back, that you would just begin to bring healing to her, Lord. Let the word of the Lord come to her and let faith arise in her, and that she just be able to be healed in the name of Jesus completely. And we pray, God, for the sister's dad, Lord, that you would just touch his body, Lord, and move, God, in his life, in his heart, in his spirit, God, whatever you need to do for him, Lord, body, soul, and spirit, that you would accomplish that in him. We pray that you keep us safe, God, on our way home. We pray that you cause us, God, more than ever before, to hear each other, to listen to each other, to pay attention to each other, and to build each other up in our most holy faith. We pray, God, that you cause us, Lord, to understand that you're coming soon, and that what we need to do, we must do quickly. We not need to do the will of God in our generation. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.